That first study looked at the value of the recurrence score as was developed based on three data sets, the one from Rush Presby in Chicago, the one in St. Joseph Hospital in California, and also the third one was from the NSABP B20 tamoxifen-treated patients. So these three data sets were used to develop the recurrence score. In other words, in a simplistic way, how you do it is you look at the patients that had recurrence versus those that don't, and you look to see which genes are differentially expressed between the recurrent patients and the non-recurrent patients. And by putting this in a multivariate analysis, you find genes that actually are the most predictive. And it ended up to be about 16 cancer-related genes and 5 reference genes. So then a 21-gene index was developed, but the next step was to validate it prospectively in another data set. For that data set, we chose to use the NSABP B14 study and the tamoxifen-treated patients in this study. And there were 668 patients in this study, and the whole hypothesis was to see whether recurrence score will separate patients at low risk for recurrence from those at high risk for recurrence.
And it was a really interesting sort of methodology for how this was done, because in a way, it was almost like a prospective, retrospective study. There have been tons of papers in the literature in the last 20 years looking at prognostic factors sort of retrospectively, and they're biased because, you know, if you look for 50 things, most likely you're going to find something. But I think what you all did that was so interesting was that after doing that retrospective look, then you sort of said, okay, let's look at it prospectively and test it in an entirely new data set. And as you mentioned, that was the tamoxifen arm of the B14 study.
Exactly. And what's fascinating about this, and I think something we all have to keep in mind for future development of both assays and other methods, is the fact that these were 20-year-old blocks that we've saved over time, and Soon deserves a lot of credit for having, and also Ed Fisher before, for having this big tumor bank that the NSABP, an annotated tumor bank, that we knew the follow-up, we knew the exact treatment of these patients, we knew the exact outcome of these patients. And of course, all of them were treated uniformly with tamoxifen.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. You know, if you look at the sequence of trials that the NSABP has done over the years, and certainly we've learned a lot of things. It's defined the standard of care. It's been very important in defining standard surgical care, local care, as well as systemic care. But it's interesting that now you're able to go back and mine these trials for completely new questions.
Right. And I think what will be fascinating is also to see in 10 to 20 years from now, the trials of today, how we're going to have thousands of blocks that we're going to find markers that we don't even imagine today.
You mentioned the fact that this test, unlike a lot of the other tests, is able to look at formalized tissue. What exactly is being looked at here and how is it looked at?
You look at the expression of genes based on RNA expression in paraffin-embedded tissue. And this is the advantage of this RT-PCR technique, because you can look at and assess RNA in fixed paraffin-embedded tissue. The reason that DNA microarrays traditionally are used in frozen tissue is that when you fix tissue in paraffin, the RNA degrades. And degrades in small fragments. But what the scientists from Genomic Health and others have been able to show is that despite of the fact that the RNA is degraded, the relative ratio among genes is the same. So the degradation is random. So you sort of can put this RT-PCR assay and sort of reassemble the pieces of RNA and find the expression of different genes. And that was a big breakthrough.
And what specifically was seen when you looked at the tamoxifen arm of the B14 study in terms of the recurrence score?
What we found was that patients that had a low recurrence score, and the recurrence score can range from 0 to 100, that's how it was made to be. What we found out was that patients that had a recurrence score of less than 18 had a 10-year distant recurrence rate of about 6.8%, with a very narrow confidence intervals, less than 10% actually, the highest confidence interval. And patients that had high recurrence score had about a 30.5% 10-year distant recurrence rate. Also, a high recurrence score was patients over 31, a recurrence score over 31. And those that fell in between 18 and 31, had an intermediate risk, which is about 15%.
And of course, it's important to keep in mind that this is after receiving tamoxifen, so
yes,
their baseline risk is going to be considerably higher.
Yes.
So these actually would be patients with pretty substantial untreated risk of recurrence in a node-negative population. If they had
exactly
a 30% risk of recurrence after tamoxifen, I guess
right,
you would guess maybe for that node-negative subset, it would be 50% or more?
Well, yes, if you assume then that the benefit of tamoxifen is independent of recurrence score. But then the next question that came up was, can we predict who benefits from tamoxifen or chemotherapy? And as we will discuss, the fact is that patients with a high recurrence score did not seem to benefit from tamoxifen.